the survey for this year does really project a continuation of the economic growth of the region, although it's going to be a little bit on the downturn compared to 2011. They are projecting an economic growth of 6.5% as opposed to 7% in 2011. But it's not such a dramatic downturn because, after all, the region will continue to be really the economic growth pole for the global economy, and it is continuing to be the fastest growing economy in the world.
From what you are saying, it seems that Asia and the Pacific is performing better than other regions of the world.
Absolutely. The one that comes after it actually is Africa. But Africa, for instance, is at 5.2% projection for 2012, which is less. And then come the other regions like the Middle East, 4.5-4.7%, and the Latin America and the Caribbean, which is like 3.5%, for instance. And I didn't mention the most advanced economies, which, as you know, are struggling with the growth at this stage.
Why is economic growth in Asia and the Pacific better than in other regions of the world?
Well, that really goes back. We have to give credit to the countries of the region. They learned the lessons of the financial crisis in the 90s, really. And that resulted in really sound macroeconomic frameworks and sound macroeconomic policies that they pursued since then. Among them, it provided them with a cushion of currency reserves. Some of the countries, as you know, like China and also other big economies in Southeast Asia, have some of the biggest reserves in foreign currency in the world. And while this kind of provided a cushion in terms for the region and provided them with what we call in the economics as fiscal and monetary policy space nationally, with which they can kind of maneuver the volatility of the markets and also of the external shocks and so on. But it did also, on the other side, prevent them from using much of these resources into really development and productive ends. They also engaged a lot in regional cooperation. And they had a lot of regional initiatives, including something called the Chiang Mai Initiative, which is a bilateral and multilateral, if you wish, swap system of currency reserves.
How does that swapping in currency reserves work?
You see, one of the shortcomings, if you wish, of what's happening in Europe now and what's happening in the world, especially the sovereign debt crisis in Europe, is affecting, obviously, the whole world. And part of this is that the capital flows are looking for other venues of investment in other parts of the world. And Asia remains one of these attractive regions for the capital markets to go and for the capital flows to go. But most of these capital flows, in some cases, causes disruptions, really, because they're just seeking short-term investment, not long-term productive investments in the regions and so on. And that causes a lot of disruption in the currency appreciation for the local currencies. So you would find a lot of local currencies of Asian countries going up artificially because there is demand for these currencies to invest in their own financial markets and so on. And hence that lowers the competitiveness of the exports of this country sometimes and cause some volatility and disruptions in the market. And part of really stabilizing this currency exchange volatility is through the reserve. So if the central bank of one country is short on some dollar, for instance, to provide the stability, other countries in the region would lend through these bilateral agreements to make this coverage of currency exchanges. And there are other sources, of course, and more technical issues.
Now, is the uncertain economic outlook of the United States and the Eurozone debt crisis, which you alluded to, affecting the economies of countries in Asia and the Pacific?
Well, absolutely. Still, Europe and the U.S. are the major export markets for the Asia-Pacific countries. And in that sense, obviously, there has been a lot of projection that kind of concluded this low demand that resulted in the crisis in the European economies and also this volatility in the U.S. or uncertainty in the U.S. led to a lowering in the exports. And that affected particularly the export-led economies in the Asia-Pacific region. This has been mitigated, though, to a certain extent by the gradual shift which is happening now towards promoting domestic consumption in the Asia-Pacific region and in the big, large economies like China and India and so on.
So that means that the goods that are produced in this region are consumed locally?
Absolutely, and that requires a big shift because it also requires now a shift in the wage structure, if you wish, in these countries and really kind of a redistribution of the income in a way that really it would create new consumers in these countries themselves.